Good morning and welcome to another edition of Desert Island Dreams. And today we're sat here with Sarah Templeton, mayoral candidate, is joining us and letting us know what she would like to take to her desert island. Sarah, good morning.
Morena, que te pehe que.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right, so the desert island.
Yes.
First of all, we've had lots of different people, lots of different opinions on what a desert island is. What's your desert island look like to start off with?
Okay. So my desert island is a small one surrounded by clear, warm water and a bit of a reef on the outside so that swimming in the warm water is safe, but there's also plenty of bush and trees with some shade.
Beautiful. That sounds great. I like the sound of that. One person came on and their desert island was Antarctica.
Which is fair.
It's a reasonable interpretation.
Yeah, I'm not sure about island. But there are definitely islands there.
Yeah.
It's a Ross Island.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know, where the New Zealand base is. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's beautiful down there. Yeah,
I've never been down that way.
Yeah, I've been a couple of times.
Okay. Well, maybe you'll tell us about that another time. But for now, we'd like to hear about what you're going to take to your beautiful desert island.
Yeah. So I had to fight my nerdy Survivor urges. So I've watched a lot of Survivor in the past, and so I had to fight the desire to take like a machete or a flint. but I've taken my bookcase.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have my sort of 4x4, you know, the cubing kind of bookcase, and it's got a lot of unread books on it, which I would love time to sit and read.
Yeah.
It's got pictures of my kids, so they're there as well. It's also got several, it's right by the door, so when I'm heading out, top on my bike and stuff. So helpfully it's already got my wet weather gear and an umbrella,
just in case.
So some practical stuff in there too.
Mm.
Yep. And
Any survival stuff? So a machete wouldn't be a bad idea. It depends, I suppose, on what the vegetation is on the island.
There's no machete there, no, but there's my Swiss Army knife.
Oh, yes.
My MacGyver knife. It was my teenage years and MacGyver and stuff. But it also has this in it.
Oh, what's this?
Which is my original 30th anniversary Survivor buff.
Okay, you're going to have to describe that.
Yeah, so it's an orange buff, for those who've watched
it's a beautiful
Survivor.
It's very orange,
and it's got all of the Survivor logos from each of the first 30 series on it.
Brilliant. Do you use it? Like, that's something you should have had on this morning, probably. It was a bit fresh.
Yeah, like, I brought it with me. I do use it sometimes on the bike. The couple of times I have been to little islands, so Fiji, sort of 7 or 8 years ago, I did take that with me, and me and my daughter, who are both Survivor nerds, took turns at wearing it and getting photos and stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So you reckon you'll survive then? Would you live there for a long time? We had someone, an author came on, and he said that he wanted to take a wormhole, so that he could travel to anywhere in the universe at any one time. And also, at one time, we had someone that came on that they wanted to take a flare and a whistle and stuff, because they wanted to get off the island. They didn't want to stay there. So how long do you reckon you stay in there for?
I mean, at this stage, probably a month's about right. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I've got stuff to do.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah, you've got quite a lot to do.
I could do a bit of a break and a bit of a read and those kind of things, but there's stuff to do.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll talk about what's got to be done shortly, but you've picked a song for us to play. Do you want to tell us about this song?
Yeah, it's Girl Gang by Gin Wigmore, and I came across it when I was putting together a playlist of, I guess, basically kick-ass feminist kind of songs for you know, days that I was having a bit of a rough time with some of the online harassment stuff.
Yes, I was going to talk to you about that shortly, actually.
Yeah, and so I've got this playlist, which I turn up loud and, just listen to that. And it's got, you know, Gin Wigmore and others, and it's got some stuff from That Bloody Woman, musical that's written by a couple of locals. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I had heard it before. I hadn't realised I heard it before, but I listened to it as we were preparing for the show. It's quite rousing, isn't it?
It is.
It's quite sort of, is it your theme tune, do you think? Listening to the lyrics?
It is. It's the top of the playlist.
Yeah.
And actually, when I went to look it up, when I was asked to do this and bring along a song and stuff, I looked it up and I was like, it was the theme song for the last cricket Women's World Cup.
Oh, was it?
Which I didn't realise. And when you look at the video.
That's probably where I've heard it. Yeah.
So I'd recognised it when I first heard it. When you look at the video, it's a whole pile of sort of famous women from all of those different countries sort of singing along in sort of semi-cartoon style.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Oh, let's come back to that. Let's listen to the song. This is Gin Wigmore with Girl Gang. Enjoy this. Gin Wigmore there with Girl Gang. And we're in the studio with Sarah Templeton this morning, who's going to tell us all about what she's going to do for our fair city.
Excellent. Yeah.
I've picked a few themes, Sarah, if
yes,
that's okay.
Excellent.
One of the first ones I spotted was women in local government. So I've got three daughters and I've brought them up to be, you know, strong, independent women. They're 19, 24 and 27, I think.
Yeah.
And you're similar. You've got three children as well.
Yep.
How do you feel about not just women in local government, but women in politics generally, women in business? How do you feel about all of that? What drives you in that area?
It's really important. It's really important that the governance of our country and of our cities is representative of those that it's governing. And so currently we have too few women around the table. We have too few people from various ethnic minority groups. Only one who whakapapa's Māori. And it's simply not representative. And that means that the decisions are skewed, I guess. Mm. Yeah.
I read somewhere that anywhere a decision is being made, there should be a woman present.
I agree. And actually
in
more
any
than
walk
one.
Of life.
Yeah. You know, and more than one, because often when it's only one, it's really hard to get your voice heard. Mm. And so there's research that shows that, like on boards, for example, you actually need two to make that difference.
Yeah.
Either women can feel ignored, be ignored, or, you know, they don't feel like they can quite speak up because they don't kind of have that backup in the support systems. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so important. It really is. And I noticed as well, I've been stalking you, as you might imagine.
Yes.
The social media stuff that happened with you, some of that stuff happened with my children, actually. It's really, really terrible. What's What's the latest thinking on that? There's all sorts of countries are starting to ban Facebook for certain age groups and things like that. Is that something that's in your radar at all, or where do you sit?
Yeah, I guess they're slightly different things. They're banning the youth stuff with the general misogyny and the attacks on women. I think it's great that we're finally talking about it. So for too long, women in leadership positions didn't raise the fact that they were being harassed and abused and online and all of those kind of things. Because one, you don't want the people who've been abusing you to know that it hurts.
Yeah, right.
So you disincentivize. That's it.
Yeah.
You don't want people to copy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't want people to be going, oh, well, you just need a thick skin. You can't really do the job. Mm. You know, it just goes with the job. But like if it went with the job, my male colleagues would get it as bad as I do.
Yeah.
And they just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's completely unacceptable. There's absolute zero tolerance for any of that sort of nonsense.
Absolutely.
And sexism, to be honest, it's not talked about enough because there's a lot of the stuff goes on about racism and xenophobia and all of that lot. But sexism, people seem to get away with it too easily.
Ah, absolutely. And there's the outright sexism and misogyny, and then there's the subconscious bias stuff too.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, there's a small group of us women who are standing for mayor across the country, and we've got this little support group.
Oh, great.
So we're all standing for the first time. There's about six or seven of us.
Yeah.
And sort of sharing experiences, and they're really similar experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of talked down to a lot. People comment on our clothes and maybe whether we need more experience before we stand, even though the woman concerned was actually more experienced as a counsellor than the one who was saying it. You know, those kind of things.
Yeah, totally. So in terms of the city then, what you're going to be doing for the city, should you be elected, one of the things that I picked up on in your profile is very much around the climate resilience, sustainability angle. And one of the things that's very close to my heart, I'm an engineer, I'm a chartered engineer that's my day job. And sustainability, and my degree's in sustainability, so I've got quite a close connection to some of the stuff that you're talking about in your bio. So, what do you think? What's the plan? What would your plan be with regards to climate resilience for the city?
Yeah, so we do have an overall plan, which is great. So, Kia Turoa Te Ao is the climate resilience strategy, and that translates roughly as ensuring the world continues, which is quite poignant. And so it's got different sections in it, but it basically means we need to look at the way the city operates as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So both lowering our emissions, so 54% of our emissions are currently in transport, 36% in that land transport space. But that actually has crossovers into adaptation as well, because we know that over time, fossil fuel prices are going to be really expensive. There's going to be supply chain disruption. And if we can transition our transport system to one that's electrified for the energy and that's active and sustainable, then actually it's going to save people a stack of money on their fuel as well as lowering emissions and it eases congestion. So transport's the big one there when it comes to mitigation. But we need to adapt as well. So I've chaired the working group as we've done our first adaptation plan for the Littleton Whakaroopo Harbour area. So council's currently in charge of the adaptation for the public assets that we've got, our roads, community centres, water network, all of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for that area, it's mostly about access. They've got lots of really low-lying sections of road that take them to and from their communities.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got the first adaptation plan that was put together by the community in conjunction with technical experts and then recommended to council and signed off. Yep.
I've been looking through the budget and one of the things that struck me is $260 million on transport. Where do you think that should be? I have my own view on where that should be going. Where in your mind, where should that be going? Is it roads?
It's a mix. So we do need to look after the assets we've got. So our road condition is still relatively poor, and we need to be making sure that we look after those so they're still there. And, you know, roads are where our buses go. Mm-hmm. And if we want good, sustainable transport, we do need good roads to put them on. But we do need to be doing our public transport better. We do need bus lanes so that buses can get through without being stuck in traffic. And we do need to finish our cycleway network and do the connections from the cycleway network into neighbourhoods and into shops and those kind of things too.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the demographic that listen to this station and this show, they often don't have cars, and they're often relying on public transport or cycling and so on and so forth. I used to be a big cyclist. I used to cycle all around the city. But I discovered that some of the cycle lanes are actually really dangerous. You know, you get to the end of a cycle and it just disappears. All of a sudden, you're thrown into the path of a truck because you've got nowhere else to go.
There's one of those on Colombo Street, right? You're heading south on Colombo Street and you get over the bridge and all of a sudden there's no cycle lane.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons that we're building the separated cycleways. Uh-huh. So they don't just finish like that, except where we're still building them. And doing those and connecting those to the lanes, because for a lot of people, just a painted lane on the road is not enough.
Mm.
It's not enough to get them out of their car and onto a bike, even if they would have felt safer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're concentrating at the moment on doing those. But it's all budget driven, you know. We do as much as we can in any one year with the budget that's set. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I always think, to be honest, I should start with education. I do feel as though the cyclists themselves are not very well educated, to be honest, quite often. I know in my case, I've done some advanced cycle training, so I actually know how to behave myself on the road.
Yeah.
A lot of cyclists don't. And so it'd be great to see in the council investing in educating cyclists in how to behave so that they make themselves safer.
Yeah, I agree. And so both the cyclists and the drivers around cyclists. So I think that like a lot of people have no idea what a hook turn is. For example, if you're new to cycling in the city and you're seeing these green, what
is
a hook turn box?
I've never seen one of those before I came to New Zealand.
So we do like have a little video about hook turn boxes, but we're not really putting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
So we need some information about if you're new to cycling, this is the things you do. Like if you want to pass someone on a cycleway, you know, on your right. And just being able to yell out to the person ahead of you that you're coming, that courtesy stuff is really important. But we also need to do stuff for educating drivers and how to drive around cyclists as well.
Totally,
because that often people are put off by close passes.
Mm-hmm.
The government actually have a rule that they're looking at passing for a minimum passing distance.
Oh,
so the previous government were going to, and they never got around to it before the election. But a 1 meter minimum passing distance for when cars are overtaking.
So they have to hold back if there's no space, like if there's two lanes or whatever, they have to hold back.
Which would be really good. And also means it can be held legally responsible and taken to court if they do hit someone.
Yeah,
because currently the driver's excuse is, you know, they were wobbling a bit or whatever. But overseas, like in Europe, where this is a thing, drivers are much more considerate because they know they can be pinged.
Yeah, sure.
And it's completely free.
Yeah.
You know, it's a free thing to do. Look, it just passed the law and then it gets enforced.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that Christchurch could be such a fabulous cycling city. It's so, well, apart from where I live in Kashmir, but in the centre, it's really completely flat. It could be so good.
Oh, it has been in the past.
Right.
Yeah, there's a really cool photo from 1986, Burnside High School. And it's a girl standing there and it's July, so it's winter. She's in her long kilt and there's just this sea of bikes out around her. It's an old star photo.
Yeah.
And that was the year I was at Burnside.
Right.
And everyone used to bike to school.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've done it before and we can do it again.
Well, let's do it again.
Absolutely.
So we've gone slightly over time. I do apologise. We got carried away there chatting. If there's anything you would like to say to the people of RDU, very, very diverse community we've got here. Is there anything in particular you'd like to say to them which will assist them in making their choice when they vote?
Just that, you know, it's everyone's opportunity to help shape the future of our city. You know, the future of our city shouldn't be decided on by a small group of the same demographic all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And electing someone this election who's really focused on the future of our city, on people and on diversity,
mm-hmm.
on making sure they're a really inclusive city
mm-hmm.
and one that's accessible for everyone, then vote Sarah Templeton for mayor this election. And make sure you do have your say. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just forget. They leave their papers on the kitchen bench. So get out there, put it in the orange bin at the supermarket.
I really do think you hit the nail on the head there. Diversity is the key. It absolutely is the key. Diversity of thought. If we don't have diversity of thought and we just have, I'm going to say it, people like me, middle-aged white men running the country or running anything, then we're stuffed, basically.
It takes all sorts around the table to come up with good decisions.
It's essential.
And I know that people often think that, you know, the Joe average or, you know, that kind of thing, the middle-aged white bloke is the average person. But actually, men age 42 plus, it's only 24% of the population.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They're actually a minority, right?
Yeah, sure. Okay,
and,
I'll take
that. Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming in. It's been lovely to chat with you. Is there anything, one last thing that you'd like to say to the listeners of this wonderful radio station?
Just get out and vote and encourage all of your friends and whanau too.
That's a good one, actually. Get out and vote. Let's get the numbers up.
That's
to make sure that everybody is represented.
That's it. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much.
It's been wonderful to have you.